guess it didn't like to stay on my shirt very good. Amen. Well, it's interesting. I wish that mom could be at our service today because she'd learn all about what's going to be blessing our children. Amen. And we started our new series last week on Psalm 112. And this is exciting stuff that we're going to be seeing. But it starts with in verse 1, praise the Lord and blessed. We talked about blessed, it means happy. Blessed, happy are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. And his commands for us today is his word. Somebody say amen. And we talked about last week that are you one who fears the Lord? So we had to get that ground covered. And we kind of pretty much figured out that we all fear the Lord. And so the rest of this in Psalm 112 is the blessing that comes. This is why it says blessed is the man who fears the Lord, because it's happy. Why is he happy? Why is he praising the Lord? Well, we're going to start seeing the different reasons why. And the very first thing that the reason why that this person who fears the Lord and delights in his commands is happy, the very first thing is his children. Somebody say amen. How many people know that as a parent, and this can be, you may be sitting there today and you may be saying, well, I'm not a parent. Well, yes, you are. Somewhere along life, you have sowed seed into somebody else's life. So whether they're your physical children or they're your spiritual children, this is what this is talking about. Okay, so the person who fears the Lord or reverences or awes or makes him the number one thing in their life, what happens to them is the very first thing it says in verse 2, their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Now, a lot of times there are things that are lost when we translate them from the Hebrew or the Greek into English. So I wanted to share with you so you have a very clear picture of what this means. Children in this word right here means descendants, offspring, seed, or something that you've sowed into someone else. So yeah, that covers everything, right? It covers your kids physically, covers your kids spiritually, the lives of people that you have sowed seed into, but mainly the blessing for your children. And then it says that they will be mighty in the land. And that's an awesome word, right? But we were totally robbed when they translated this. Listen to what mighty means when it's translated. Strong, powerful, champions, heroes, men and women of standing, prosperous, honored, distinguished for influence, for success, and for virtues. Woo! Did we get robbed or what? Aren't you glad that we look a little bit deeper than just what the written word is, that we have sources to go to? This doesn't just mean that your children are mighty in the land. Let's listen to this again. Your children will be strong. Your children will be powerful. Your children will be champions. Your children will be heroes. What is the world looking for right now? A hero. They got to make up heroes in order to give our kids something to look at. Our children will be heroes. Somebody say amen. Men and women of standing, prosperous, honored, distinguished for their influences, for their successes, and for their virtues. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. And why are our kids this way? Because we are men and women who fear, respect, reverence, make him Lord of our life, right? And why are we doing this with tithes and offerings? As we shared last week, the number one thing that will keep you from having God, his rightful place in your life, is your money. So if we don't have our money right with God, then this blessing that's supposed to be on our children will not be there. Somebody say amen. Amen. We've got to make sure that we are giving our tithes and our offerings right off the bat. Give the Lord what's his. Amen? Because then you can be one who is happy and blessed because you know you're doing what the Lord has asked you to do. Then it says after that, the generation of the upright will be blessed. The generation of the upright means descendants of those who fear the Lord. So descendants of those, descendants, I don't just think of my children. When I think of descendants, I think of my children's, 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 children's. Amen? This just keeps on going. And it says, they shall be blessed. Now, this picture here, when you think of blessed, you think of happy, but that this is a different meaning. Listen, it says to kneel, to bless God, receive blessing from the Most High, and shall therefore prosper. So not only are our children being blessed, but you get this picture of yourself kneeling in reverence and respect to God, and who's with you? Your descendants. Amen? This is powerful. So many times we let the enemy come in to kill, steal, and destroy because we don't know what's ours. I'm here to tell you today, the very first thing that God said that you will be blessed with is your children. And if your children are not being blessed, then you take out your word and you say, devil, back off of my kids. That is your authority as a tither and a giver. If you are following the Lord's commands, this is the authority that you have. Why is that important? It's extremely important in these days because the things of the world will come to steal, kill, and destroy our children. And we have authority as men and women who are believers to say no. Have we heard anything about the children making a choice right now? No. This is all because of you. Your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and your great-great-grand, there is a blessing that keeps going forward. Somebody should shout hallelujah in this place. This is amazing. Thank you, kids. In the Bible Hub, there's a commentary for Psalm 112, and I just had to read it because it was so powerful. And it says this, he who fears God and leads a holy life is, as a rule, doing the best that he can for the future advancement of his house. No inheritance is equal to that of an unblemished name. No legacy can excel the benediction of a saint. And taking matters for all in all, the children of a righteous man commence life with greater advantages than others. Did you hear what I said? Greater advantages than others, and are more likely to succeed in it in the best and highest sense. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. The race of sincere, devout, righteous men and women is kept up from age to age and ever abides under the blessing of God. The godly man may be persecuted, but they shall not be forsaken. The curses of men cannot deprive them of the blessing of God. The curses of men cannot deprive them of the blessing of God. For the words of Balaam are true. He hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Their children also are under a special care of heaven, and as a rule, it shall be found that they inherit the divine blessing. What an inheritance! Forget your money. Bless your kids by fearing and reverencing the Lord. Honesty and integrity are better cornerstones for an honorable house than mere cunning and avarice or even talent and push. To fear God and to walk uprightly is a higher nobility than blood or birth can bestow. That is some powerful stuff all coming from this one verse. When you fear and honor and reverence the Lord, what happens? Your children are blessed. So if you're looking at their lives and it doesn't look blessed, you take out your word and you say, devil, it's now time for you to take your hands off my children in every way you have tried to kill, steal, and destroy. Because I am walking in fear of God, I am a tither and I am a giver, and my promise is this. My children will be mighty in the land, and the generation, my kids, my descendants, will be blessed. Amen. That is powerful. And all of this comes if you just fear the Lord. Yes. If you fear the Lord and you delight in his commands, how could you not be happy and blessed if you know in your heart of hearts, doesn't matter what I see. My child is blessed because I'm walking in reverence to the Lord. That is my blessing. That is their inheritance. That is what I am passing on. So my descendants, as far as they go, are going to walk in this blessing of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want to be one who fears God. And this is just the very first thing. We got lots of scriptures to go. I encourage you to mark in your Bibles number one on this verse. This is the first promise. This is the first blessing that's coming to you if you fear and honor the Lord. And we're going to go through each one. I'm very excited about this series. I think this is something that's going to set us free. Because a lot of times we don't know the truth. And when you don't know the truth, you believe the lie. We don't have to believe the lie that things come against our kids and we just have to accept it. Oh, no. No, 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 no. No. Say, I will not accept anything except my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, my great-great-great-grandchildren, and so on, walking in the blessing of God. In Jesus' name. Now you expect. You expect what you're seeing. And for some of you, even spiritual kids, you expect to see them blessed because you have sown something into them. And when you sow, you're going to reap. Amen? Amen. I could go forever. I'm just so excited about what God's doing. This is amazing stuff. So we can't let the enemy try to trick us or deceive us when we see something going on in our children or our grandchildren's life. You just laugh at him. I know the end result. I've already read the book. I know what happens. You have already lost because I have chosen to follow the Lord. Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank you so much. And we say today with full confidence, we are those who fear the Lord. We fear you. We honor you. We reverence you. We respect you, Father, today. We say you are in control. And so the very first thing that we can do, the very first way that we can show that is with our finances. And so today, Father, we come before you and we bring our tithes and our offerings and our gifts. And we say, money is not our God. It is not first priority in our life. You are. And we thank you, Father, for the many, many blessings that come just from being a tither and a giver. And Father, we just thank you as we look into Psalm 112 and see the blessings that you have for those who fear the Lord. Lord, we get excited. For someone who fears the Lord, one of the greatest treasures in their heart is their children. And you knew that, God. And you made that the very first thing that you covered. The very first thing. Because as a father, you understand how much your children mean. And I just pray for every person's children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-great-grandchildren in this room, Father. I just speak over their lives and I say, devil, take your hands off of them now. Yes. No weapon formed against them is going to prosper, whether it's in their minds, their emotions, their health, their finances, their choices. You are done. As of today, we have known the truth, and it has set us free to know what is our rights as children of God. And we speak to them and we call out to you, children, right now in Jesus' name. We call out to you, descendants. We call out to you, seeds. And we say, you come back to Jesus or you stay with Jesus. Whatever is holding you back right now in the name of Jesus is broken off of you. You are my seed. You are my heirs. You are my descendants. And we call you forth and come into the house of God. Today is the day of salvation for you. And we praise you, Father, for the amazing miracles and testimonies that we're going to begin hearing of people's children and great-grandchildren and great-grandchildren calling them up saying, I don't know, are you praying? Because something's going on in my life and I can't explain it other than it's miraculous. And we're going to give you all the praise and all the glory, Father, because we will be happy and blessed. Because our children are blessed. We give you all the praise today for this amazing word that you're showing us. Bless every seed that is sown today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's pray over this message. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you for your glorious presence in this place today. We just welcome you today. We ask you to bless our time together, to minister to your people today. And Lord, that you just give us the words to speak, Lord, the words to preach and the words to say that will thwart the darkness, God, that will pierce the darkness, that will shine the light, Lord Jesus. Because we know that you are a victory, God. And we keep our eyes on you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to continue for the next couple Sundays on faith over fear. Somebody say, faith over fear. Amen. Fear's going down. Fear takes people down. But the thing is, we shouldn't go with it. Amen. Faith rises, fear falls. Amen. Somebody say, I'm on the rise. Because your faith is in Jesus, right? And if your faith is in Jesus, you're on the rise. You're not falling down, you're on the rise, you're going up. Even just thinking of it in natural terms, heaven, it doesn't say, you know, when the rapture happens, Jesus is going to appear in the valley, right? No, he already came out of the grave, didn't he? He's appearing in the clouds, and we are going up, literally, physically, geographically, up. Amen? And so right now, that's where my faith needs to stay, especially in times like these. And praise God, we need to be looking for the bright spots and praising God for the good news that's out there. But there's a lot of bad news out there. There's a lot of psycho, satanic people out there right now driving the train. They don't know where it's going. You know, it's not dark enough yet. We need to get darker. It's not crazy enough yet. We just need to, you know, fire millions of people from being able to do their jobs, whether it's military or police or fire department, because you're not abiding by our guidelines. You know, they're not honoring religious liberties anymore. Religious exemption in terms of with this vaccination, religious exemptions mean nothing to them. Nothing. Somebody say, uh-oh. This is why God's people, God's been working and working and working year in and year out and year in and year out to get his people financially independent so that they can't dangle my job over my head and say, if you don't do this and this and this, you're fired. Well, praise God, if people choose, I know a lot of us have gotten vaccinated and that kind of thing, but we need to make sure we're doing it for the right reasons, right? Not because someone's going to fire me if I don't. That's just downright evil, right? And that's just one example. It's just the one we're hearing about right now. And the devil's real good about just changing every, you know, it's kind of like, I don't want to use social media as a bad example right now, but Twitter, you know, it's like, oh, that's hot, that's trending, this is trending, and this is trending, right? First, it was kind of COVID's trending, and then racism's trending, and then what's that COVID, what is it called, the new variant? The variant is trending, and now it's vaccination is trending, Afghanistan is trending. You know, he just keeps, it's like a hamster wheel. And as believers, listen to me, as believers, we got no business being on the hamster wheel. I got off the hamster wheel the day I got born again. Amen? That's why we tithe. That's why we come to church. Because we're saying, yeah, I'm in the world, but I am not of this world. Amen. So they can't dangle my security over my head. There might be some sacrifices. There might be some things that we have to just walk away from because we coexist with the world as long as they're willing to coexist with us. There might come a time, church. There might come a time, this isn't even sci-fi, where certain people, certain businesses, certain whatever will not, from their end, will not coexist with us anymore. Glory to God. I was watching the World Series with my dad yesterday. Not the World Series, the the National League Championship Series. The boys and I went over there. And I went over there and I apologize for my love of baseball, but I love baseball, right? And the Dodgers, I've always liked the Dodgers. They've been my favorite team in the National League for years, since I went to college at Azusa and saw a couple of their games in the 88 World Series with Oral Hershiser and Kirk Gibson and Tom Lasorda, and amen. Well, I noticed the other day that they're playing the Atlanta Braves, and it just dawned on me. The Atlanta Braves were supposed to host the All-Star Game in the middle of July. Supposed to. They were going to honor Hank Aaron, the World Series champion African-American guy, passed away recently. Well, the commissioner, Major League Baseball, stepped in and said, oh no, we are not going to have our All-Star Game in Georgia because you're all a bunch of racists. Because you're questioning the validity of the voting, the mail-in voting and all that kind of stuff. Georgia is one of the red states that was saying, hey, wait, we need to review how the voting system works. Major League Baseball stepped in and said, because you're doing that, you're all a bunch of racists, and we're yanking the All-Star Game out of your state and moving it to Colorado. Oh. The game I love did that to me. Did that to them. America's pastime. They were going to honor a black man. Hank Aaron. Oh. And so when I discovered that the Atlanta Braves were facing the Dodgers, right, to have a chance to play to get into the World Series, Atlanta hadn't even had, they had like the least amount of wins, I think, in all the teams that were in the playoffs this year. But all of a sudden, it just like lit up on the inside of me. I want the Atlanta Braves not only to get in the World Series, I want them to win the World Series, and I want the commissioner himself to have to stand there in Atlanta, in their stadium, and hand the trophy to the owner, and then just give the owner the mic for a minute. And last night, the Atlanta Braves beat the Dodgers in Atlanta to get into the World Series. Now, that was so amazing. I mean, to me, and I told the kids, I was like, guys, they won't talk about this. They can't talk about this on TV. But I know all those thousands of people in those seats, those Georgia people, it's sweet liberation right now because they are now in the World Series. You took the All-Star Game from us. But we are going to take the World Series. I just love it. I just love it. I just love it. I love justice. Justice. And honestly, as the church, that's all we're asking for. Just a fair election. If you choose darkness, let's at least say it was 60-40, right? 49 to whatever, 51. But don't lie. Don't steal, and then act like it's totally okay. It is not totally okay. In fact, a lot of those folks ought to be in prison. I was asking the Lord this past week about, because he always gives us a theme for the year. We're going to get to these notes, don't worry. But he always gives us a theme for the year. And I was like, Lord, what do we want to go next year? And a lot of times I start feeling it during the year. Like I feel like we're on our track and we're teaching what he wants us to teach, but I feel like there's something on me that I gotta get out, but there's no time to get it out. And it's this year, I feel like it's been, I guess what I would call kingdom culture. Because culture has been under attack in our nation. What is American culture? What is God's kingdom culture? So I believe next year we're gonna spend a lot of time in the church, recording messages, posting things in regards to what does kingdom culture look like? How is it different from what we're hearing? Because Christians need to know this. Because there's a lot of Christians out there that are just floating along with it, just embracing all the trash, But this brings us back to today's message. A lot of the reason why people do embrace what they know, they got to know in their spirit is wrong, is because they're afraid. They're fearful. Amen? But if a few of us will stand up to the fear, if a few of us will stand up and say, I don't care what you think you can take from me, you're not my God. But I'm not bowing my knee to whatever you say I should bow my knee to, right? And it doesn't mean we go to school boards and holler at people and yell and threaten violence. That ain't God. But we do need to be people that are willing to stand up, right? I mean, it's affecting national security, which doesn't really surprise most of us, probably, the way everything went and all this kind of stuff, that the folks that were left in Afghanistan and all the military equipment that was now they're doing it here too. We're firing police officers, which we hate anyway, unless there's people that would say, you know what the police are for? They're, and what jail is for, they're for law-abiding citizens who would dare to have Thanksgiving and Christmas in their house with more than 10 people. That's what it's there for. For those of you who feel like all the trash, the other day I was in Portland and I'm doing my pest control route, and there are children waiting on a sidewalk standing in homeless debris. Filth. But you better keep your mask on when you get on this bus. I mean, how nuts is this? Amen. Now, we'll mask up in church when we're doing what we got to do to honor our leaders. But we do have a line. You can tell me what to put on my body, but don't be telling me what to put in my body. Or I'll get fired. Right? Or what to believe and what not to believe. What I can say, what I can't say. There were some on sports again yesterday. There were these folks debating on a football coach's email history, and how racist things that he said were so racist, and they're just blah, blah, blah. It's like, man, why aren't you talking about Hillary Clinton's emails or Hunter Biden's emails? How about that? Well, no, we gotta get you to look over here, so you don't look at this. That's Satan is the master of distraction. Create something over here, some smoke screen over here, so you don't look at what's obvious. And why is it? Fear. Create things to scare people into submission. Somebody say, not me. Not me. Amen. And kind of a subtitle that the Lord really gave me for this message today, Faith Over Fear. We're going to focus on the Lord being our banner of victory, but he wants us to see ourselves as the victor, not as the victim. A victim mentality is destructive, and it is based on fear. This woman that was on the text chat line this morning at Eagle Mountain, she came up with this long text, and it was, she called herself distraught mother. And she was like, all you all that are in this cult, you've messed up my daughter's life. She's got all these problems and it's all your fault. It's like, when those come up, they just take them out. It's like, okay, we'll pray for you, lady, but you're out there. But her whole thing was victim, 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 and it's all your fault, your fault, your fault. That is a lie that is based on fear, that is affecting thousands and thousands of people in our nation, right? You're a victim because your skin is this color. You're a victim because of your gender. You're a victim because of your financial status. You're a victim because of this, or a victim, 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 victim. Amen? Somebody say, not me. I am a victor in God. I am not a victim. I refuse to be a victim or to see myself or buy into that. Hallelujah. Well, our foundation text, as it has been, is Mark 5:36, and it says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, Do not be afraid, only believe. And you can go back online and hear the past few messages that we read through this whole story, but the ruler of the synagogue comes to Jesus because his daughter is about to die. Right? But he chooses not to accept that report, but instead to accept the report of the Lord. Amen? The report of the Lord is, don't be afraid. There are numerous scriptures in the Bible where Jesus says, God says, do not be afraid. Somebody say, do not be afraid. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. And that's what I told this woman this morning. I said, you know what? You just need to look to Jesus and stop blaming other people for your problems. It's the preacher in me. I mean, you put your foot out there, you share that, I'll share this. Amen? It's not everybody else's fault. Amen? And that's the rhetoric that you hear from the left-wing liberal leadership, is all the people on the street out there is your fault. How dare you celebrate Christmas with your family? You ought to be in jail, not them. You're the one that's messed up. Not all the heroin addicts out there. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. So we get righteously angry, but we're not hating on people. But we're sure not just going to roll with it. Why? Because I can't roll with it. I won't roll with it. Amen? Praise the Lord. But it all comes back to not being fearful. Staying in faith. Amen? Keeping our eyes on Jesus, on the victory that he's already won for us. Amen? Somebody say, I'm the victor. I'm not the victim. I refuse to have a victim mentality. Well, it's all about how you were raised and some subconscious thing or some addictive lifestyle or something somebody said to you, and we get to start playing the blame game, the blame game. Somebody say no. No. I'm looking to Jesus. Hallelujah. 1 John 4:18 says this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Hallelujah. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So really, faith is not even the nemesis of fear. Love is. But not the way the world defines love. Amen? The rainbow is not a depiction of, I mean, talking about the way the world presents the rainbow, transgenderism, and it's comical to me how you hear things that they decide they hate. And it's like, wait a second, no hate. What about the rainbow? Where does straight, born-again Christians fit in the rainbow? No room for you. It's funny, right? Talking about just embracing all lifestyles, embracing all genders, embracing all whatevers. But oh, if you don't get that vaccination, you're fired. Oh, mercy. Glory to God. But we need to come back to the love of God, church, and just stay there. Amen? God is love. It's possible, church, and I believe this is what we're going to talk about for much of 2022. It's possible for me to walk in love and yet not roll with that. Because I'll tell you what, that is love. That is love. What parent in their right mind would let their kid go up and play in the stove and, well, he just go ahead, do what you want. No, they're going to say, don't touch, hot. That is love. That will kill you. Don't do it. That is love. That's the love of God that will save people. Amen? And I've said this before. The Lord showed me a couple years ago that the church ought not be a place of assisted suicide. Right? Where we just embrace whatever it is you want to embrace so we don't offend you. You just go right ahead. We'll support you. We'll put rainbows on the billboard outside. I don't want to answer to God for that. Right? Get home to heaven. Hey, Steve, welcome home to heaven. Welcome home, son. You pastored that church for all those years. Where are they? Somebody say, no. Not here. Hallelujah. The love of God, we love God first. We love people. Honestly, church, I got a love in my heart for President Biden. I got a love in my heart for Kamala Harris and Nancy Pelosi and Governor Inslee and Brown and everybody that follows their leadership, right? But I'll tell you this. I love my Heavenly Father more. I love Jesus more than I love them. Amen? So we pray for them. Amen? And we get involved in our communities. I was so blessed to see that there's a couple of ladies running for school board in Washougal that are totally right on track with what we're talking about here. They're like, hey, let's get back to school being school. Reading, writing, arithmetic, and get off all this junk. And they're not coming at it in terms of violence and name-calling and hallelujah. So God may not be calling me to run for school board. I think Shelly would be great on the school board, actually. Because we've gotten into conversations before about stuff, and I just go, I escalate. She doesn't. She just has this, and it's like, wow, I never thought of that. Well, you should be on the school board, Shelly. So we support those, right, who are doing the right thing. Amen. Glory to God. Well, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4 says it this way. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. Hallelujah. That's why I don't have to be afraid of losing my job or losing my education or losing my mind. Because if we've been following Jesus every day, I'm not just talking about, you know, when it's convenient. If we're following, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. Because I'll tell you what, I'm not perfect, but I have been following Jesus my entire life. That's as far as I can remember since I got born again. Doesn't mean I've never had any slip-ups here and there, but my heart is to follow him. That's why I know this church is healthy. That's why I know where I live is the right thing. That's why I know where my kids are in school is the right thing. That's why I know where I'm working is the right thing, because I'm following him. Amen? Now, what if years ago I decided, but I'm going to keep you at a distance because I'm doing this track right here, and now it's 2021 and all this stuff's going on. That's why a lot of people are getting into bad stuff right now, because they love God, but they haven't been following him. Right? They bought stuff they couldn't afford. They got too big of a house, a boat, RVs, multiple college tuitions going on, and now either bow your knee or get out. They're going to bow their knee to keep their stuff. But if we've been following Jesus every day of our life, our stuff doesn't own us. In fact, you can just go ahead and have the stuff. I'll take Jesus. I'll take my freedom, for goodness sakes. And we'll see a change happen in our nation from people that do that. This is one of the key factors, the common factors in all of our founding fathers and mothers, is they laid everything at the feet for our sacred honor of our nation, all their stuff. President Trump was doing that. What did he have to gain? Billionaire for being president. He laid down his reputation. Didn't even take us out. He's a great example. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I want to read to you out of Exodus 17. I know the Holy Ghost is doing the preaching today because none of this is in my notes, right? But this is, and it's all God. Amen? But Exodus 17, verses 8 through 16. We're talking about faith over fear. Amen? But our faith in God needs to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. If my faith is just in faith, or my faith is just in, you know, forcing myself to conjure up some kind of belief, then it's going to fail. But if my faith is in the reality that God loves me, God loves me. They were singing a song at Eagle Mountain, that song, we've sung it here too before. I am a child of God. I am a child. You know, I didn't hear anybody say, I am a second or third cousin of God. Right? You get to heaven and be like, you know, the guy that gets to heaven. Hi, God. You know, you and my wife were pretty tight. My grandparents loved you. So can I come in? Somebody say, God doesn't have any grandchildren, right? You're either in or you ain't. Somebody say, I choose to be in. Well, let's read about this guy, Moses. Amen? So, I'm going to read verses 8 through 16. We'll just see how far we get. Now, Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow, so see, Israel didn't go picking a fight. Amalek came picking a fight. Terrorist, right? Taliban kind of folks. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Why'd they go to the top of the hill? To hide? No, to intercede. Hallelujah. Somebody say, keep interceding. Keep interceding. Because it's working. The devil wants us to think it ain't working. That's because it is working. Hallelujah. Verse 11. So it was when Moses held up his hand and Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. So he was holding up his hand, Israel prevailed, he got tired, let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Somebody say, faith over fear, right? But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. That's a long time to hold your hands up. But he had to hold his hands up like our life depends on it. And I'll tell you what, we need to keep our faith in Jesus like our life depends on it, because it does. Like our nation depends on it, because it does. Amen? Keep our focus on Jesus. Somebody say, all day long. All day long. And we support one another, don't we? That's why we have church, because we're holding each other's hands up. Amen? It's good to know that we're not the only one. That's why I like Victory Network and the Victory News and Flashpoint News, because it helps me remember, oh, I'm not the only one that believes like this. There's millions of people that are standing, holding each other's arms up. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it to the hearing of Joshua, then I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. But Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner. Jehovah Nissi. I pray, this is one of the things I pray every day. I go through the names of God. And Jehovah Nissi is one of my favorites. The Lord is my banner of victory. Hallelujah, right? And some names for banner. These are some other translations for the word banner. One of the most basic ones is the flag, right? How many nowadays have replaced that flag with a rainbow flag or some other weird rendition? Ignoring the truth behind why that flag is and inventing things. I was listening to David Barton yesterday on a CD, and he calls it modernism, secular modernism, that takes everything that's happening, that happened years ago, and brings it to today like it's happening today. In other words, you can't take what was happening in the 1800s, you know, 1700s, and put those people in today and judge them based on today's standards, right? The heart of our nation is clean before God. Amen? Hallelujah. But first and foremost, the reason why we can say that is because our forefathers were following Jesus. Amen. And many of them still are. There's a lot of good ones out there. Hallelujah. But the church has to get busy. The family has to get busy. See, before God ever left the White House and the state, the Capitol, he left my house. Not talking about me personally, but he left the house. Right? He left the church. Or not really left, he was excommunicated from a lot in a large way from people's lives. Right? And that spilt over into all this big mess now. Hallelujah. But Jesus is like bounty, isn't he? He's the quicker picker-upper. We just start spreading Jesus around, and stuff just starts getting fixed. Hallelujah. Amen. But he's our banner. He's our flag. See, that's why we can celebrate America, because that's not my God. We have a bigger banner that we come to first. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus, right? But the OJB version says, Jehovah Nissi, my banner, is my standard, my rallying point. My rallying point. Jesus is our rallying point. And many reject him, but not me, not you. See, we need to remember, church, how valuable we are in God's eyes. Because there are millions and millions of people, even outside these doors, that absolutely reject him. You are precious in his sight. He loves them too, but you're at another level. You're his son or his daughter. Glory to God, right? That's our rallying point, Jesus, right? The voice version says, my battle flag. He's our battle flag. Glory to God. There is a spiritual battle going on, make no mistake about it. But we know who wins, don't we? Hallelujah. And so all we got to do is stand. Amen? The CJB version says, banner or miracle. Somebody say, there are miracles happening. Hallelujah. There are miracles happening in this nation. Glory to God. The CE version says, the Lord gives me victory. He is our victory. Amen? The DRA version says, Nissi or banner means my exaltation. So that tells me instead of spending time complaining, I should spend time praising God. And we do need to address the facts, but it's easy for me. That's why Shelley would be better on the school board. It's easy for me to just start whining about stuff. Because you know, get negative and all that kind of stuff. No. Let's get back over to praising God more. Keeping our hands lifted up. Moses didn't spend his time pointing at the Amalekites and how nuts they were. He spent his time lifting his hands to God, and they got the victory. Amen? And it was more than just for a day or two. Well, it was for that day. But we have to be in the mindset of, this is a lifetime commitment that I'm in. Amen? The TLB says, he's my flag. The Message version says, God, my banner. He said, salute God's rule. We salute God's rule. Amen? That's why if the Lord is telling me not to do something, I don't care what they say to me, I'm not going to do it. They can kick me out, they can fire me, they can threaten me, but if God told me, do not cross this line, son, I ain't going to cross it. That's why you're in good hands in this church. Hallelujah, because you don't want a pastor that bows their knee you know, hanging a sign on the door, do not come in these doors unless you are vaccinated. No, it's not fear over faith. It's faith over fear. Amen? Glory to God. And again, with the vaccination thing, that's completely up to you. God will lead you. God will, if you receive it in faith. Amen? But if God told you, hey, you don't need that, don't worry about it, then don't worry about it. But it's not going to make a difference of who we let in or don't in this building. Because there's this thing called freedom in this nation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're wrapping up here. Exodus 14, 14 says this, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Somebody say, hold your peace. Amen. Peace meaning in this sense is be silent. Speak not a word, let alone to be deaf, hold your tongue, be still, secrecy. These are some words in the concordance that jive with that word peace. Amen. So when the worry starts to rise, when the depression and the grief and the strife and the pressure of the world starts to arise, I just need to tell myself, hush. The Lord is going to fight this battle, and he will shut the devil's mouth. Amen. That's called faith over fear. Amen. The Lord will fight for you. You shall hold your peace. You know what? If they kick me out of something I'm doing in the world, that means God's got something better for me then. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's called an attitude of faith right there. Amen? Hallelujah. And the Lord will give us wisdom on exactly how to apply these things, right? But somebody say, be silent, speak not a word, let alone. That doesn't mean we're passive and just let things happen as they will. The Holy Spirit helps us and gives us wisdom, right? But what that tells me is don't get into worry, constant complaining, name calling, all this kind of stuff. Just hush. Plug into Jesus. Get away with God. Lift those hands back up. Get up on the mountaintop with Jesus and the Spirit. And all of a sudden, you'll just get this revelation that everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord forevermore. And then finally, Isaiah 53:5 says this. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And I'll tell you what. There is no substitute for the peace of God in our lives. The wicked do not have peace. People that are serving all this junk out there in the world, they don't have any peace. They don't have any rest. That's why Sunday is no more a quiet day out there. There's constant movement, no rest, no Christmas, no Thanksgiving, because there's no rest. Oh yeah, there is for me. Because I don't answer to you. I have a higher authority. His name is Jesus. He is my rest. He is my peace. Hallelujah. And we need to spend time with him often throughout the day, because then we're tapping into his peace. Amen? And I love that part says, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Jesus suffered all this filth of the world. He bore all that on his own body so that I'm redeemed of it. That's why I say, like we said at the beginning, I'm not on the hamster wheel. Because Jesus bore that for me. Amen? And we stay in peace. And this word peace is translated health, prosperity, rest, and safety. And I would dare to say all four of those areas have been under attack in our nation. Of the devil and his cohorts. Our health, the health of our nation, the prosperity of our nation, the rest of our nation, and the safety of our nation seems like are in the wrong hands currently. But somebody say, we have a higher flag. His name is Jesus, And that's where I stay. That's where I stay. Somebody say, He loves me. He loves me, and that's all that matters. And that's why I can love them, and I can love you. Amen? Glory to God. Let's pray. Go ahead and stand up on your feet together, and let's just worship God and thank Him. Thank Him, thank Him, thank Him that we are the victor, not the victim. Hallelujah. Lord, as we lift our hands to You, we declare that Jesus is Lord over our lives. We thank You, Lord, for helping us, God, to not get into the flood of negativity. Your word says when the enemy comes in like a flood, that like a flood, You will lift up a standard, a flag against him that he will not cross. Oh, we thank You, Jesus. We thank You and we praise You and we glorify You and we magnify You and we exalt You. And we declare that we will live for You every day of our lives and stay in that place of rest and peace before You, reminding our own souls to be quiet, that You're the one fighting our battles, that You'll show us what to do, what not to do, where to honor and where we don't need to honor. And we'll give You all the praise and all the glory. All the praise and all the glory belong to You, Jesus. Thank You for being our great banner of victory. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen.